Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Be like Jason Gibbs. Try Arby's new brown sugar bacon sandwich.
Our I could go for one of those right now, man.
I bet you could. You'd go for six or seven, I'm told.
Only when I'm on a bender.
Our thick-cut bacon just got better with the sweet, crackly glaze of brown sugar. Three new sandwiches for true bacon lovers. Arby's, we've got the meats. What's up, Gribbs?
Where the heck did you go during a commercial break, by the way?
What?
We get ready to come back. I play in the music. I'm like, everybody ready? Gribble's like, Nathan's not here.
Was I here when I needed to be here?
No.
Yes?
I'm gonna say no.
I thought I was. What happens in a commercial break is my business.
Hey, are you guys doing a video? Are you guys live video streaming this or something?
No.
I'm looking at Browns. Are they taking photos of you guys? Like, what's going on?
They've been taking photos of us every day, yes.
What is going on with that?
I don't know.
Trying to out us for our clothing that we wear to the workplace in mid-July. That's a slower time of year here, Gibbs.
That's what I'm trying. Look, trust me. Trying to put together the rundown today, I can second that. This day, Gribble, you and I were just talking about, this day is worse than the day after the All-Star game.
Yeah,
because at least, you know, we're getting ready for the ESPYs.
We've got the British!
Dude, it's a slow day. It's a real slow day.
Yeah, you can talk about golf for a segment or two.
Yeah.
I agree. I'd rather be playing golf.
Oh, God. I played all right last night.
Buckeye Guy 36 says, Tiger will be 40 in December. Let's see how many guys end up with 79 wins and 14 majors. Everybody can thank him for the money they are making. Totally true. It's just an unbelievable demise.
Yeah, I mean, we're not, like, disrespecting what he has accomplished. I mean, he's just one of the greatest golfers of all time. But it just hasn't – it's just – that's what makes this downfall so much more staggering and crazy to watch. Like, that's why the David Duval demise is not talked about. Or covered as much
right,
as Tiger Woods.
It wasn't his time on top was brief compared to this. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Bleacher Report just came out power ranking the NFL secondary depth charts, and the Browns came in second overall behind only the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I think that they are correct. I like that ranking. I don't see, you know, Buffalo gets some mention sometimes. You get the Jets get mentioned. You get Green Bay gets mentioned. But I think that this makes great sense. Three of the four starters go to the Pro Bowl last year. You bring in Termon Williams, who's an upgrade from Buster Skrine. Kaywan's been one of the better nickels in the league, at least he was last season. Plus you've got Gilbert. Plus you got Dazier. Plus you got Poyer and Ibrahim Campbell backing those guys up. So you're in pretty good shape, both in terms of your starters and in terms of your depth. And in fact, I think you could make the case that overall the depth is better than it is with the Seattle Seahawks. But the Seahawks have Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas. They bring in Kerry Williams, who's been up and down, to say the least, in his career. Jeremy Lane moves now back to a reserve role, and they've got Will Blackman. So they do have some pretty good players. But those, to me, are the top two secondaries in the league. What bothered me about this article is that when you're projecting the depth chart, like they list Kaywan Williams as the backup to Joe Hayden.
Yeah,
the nickel is a starting position in the NFL. Teams are nickel more than 50% of the time in the NFL.
Especially with the way the Browns play defense, too. I mean, he's going to be out there a lot. I mean, we watch practice. He is a starter. I mean, we look
sure.
And see. I mean, he's out there just as much as anyone else. So, I mean, that's why you got to include him.
You've got to. And we're going to get our guy, the Judge, in here today. Mike Judge makes his triumphant return to Browns Daily today. telling you about how to get involved with the Browns. I know all you season ticket people who want season tickets. You saw the tweets yesterday. Season ticket holders got their tickets, and they got these very nice cups. And we always do the reads, and we tell you what's out there for you in terms of flexible payment plans, etc. But the judge, one of the great salesmen in the ticket group here, is going to come in with us later on in this hour, and he is going to break it down exactly what that all means. But going down, back to the secondary thing, do you think second's about right for this team?
I do, and I think you can – I'll look at it this way. I think you got to see it before you take Seattle away from number one in that spot. So I would say they have the best group of starters. I would agree that the Browns might have the best overall depth in the secondary. And I'll say the Jets might have the best corners.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to lump in Buster in there, that the fact that he's going to be playing nickel for them, which is the perfect role for him, along with Revis. I mean, no one has Revis. I mean, he's on his own there as the number one defensive back in all of football, and Cromartie as well. I think they have the best cornerbacks. I don't know much about what their situation is at safety, and if it that maybe lessens how good their secondary is. But I think those three, for me, are in the conversation. It's good to finally see a list that is acknowledging the Browns in this group, because it takes someone to kind of maybe go beyond the groupthink to right. not include to include the Browns, because it's just not a popular line of thinking to include the Browns at this point.
So they've got Calvin Pryor, who they drafted out of Louisville, and they've got Marcus Gilchrist, who had played with the Chargers for many years as their safeties. So, and the way that Pro Football Focus sees it, now this is interesting, this is just their grading. They've got Revis as elite, he's a blue. They've got Cromartie as an average, which I think he's probably better than that. They have Buster as a below average, Calvin Pryor and Gilchrist as both averages. The way that they do their grading.
Are they assessing that screen's performance from last year?
That's just what they think of them based on their numbers. And this is all based on their numbers, their analytics, the way that they see it. When you look at the Browns secondary, and we did this exercise on the show earlier, the Browns have a high green, which is a high quality Joe Hayden, so that's a level two. They've got Tremont Williams gets a green, Dante Whitner gets a high green, Gip gets a green, and Kaywan gets a green. They are the only starting secondary on any team. This is not even true of course, the Seattle Seahawks, that is five green with their five starters.
See, Pro Football Focus was big on the Browns secondary last year, too.
Yep, they had them as the number one secondary.
So that's something to take in consideration. I think in that type of performance for this group, if they continue to be even better, that's just going to make the overall defense that much better, and you can kind of build around. And, you know, this coaching staff might not have known what they had in this secondary last year until they played the games. Now they know what they've got, and I think they're preparing that way.
And now Seattle, by comparison, has two blues, Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas. Cam Chancellor gets a high green, and then they've got an average at Jeremy Lane and an average with Kerry Williams. So just interesting, but those are considered, at least I would agree, are probably the top two secondaries in the league. We got a caller. Let's go to him. John in Uniontown, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, thanks. Driven by Liberty Ford.
What's going on, fellas?
Not too much, John. How you doing?
I'm afraid I'm doing too good.
Okay.
I got my season tickets yesterday.
Yes.
Awesome.
And I'm pumped about the Browns, and I want you guys to talk me down, because I think I'm getting – maybe I'm just drinking the
I'm pretty positive, so we'll see. Okay.
I was excited last year because the Browns finally established the identity that I wanted them to establish, which is the AFC North, play awesome defense and run the football. And I agree, their quarterback situation obviously is not where anybody wants it to be, but they took the other way to be a good football team, which established an awesome defense and run the ball. And that's the only other thing you can do until you find your quarterback.
Correct.
So I think they've established starters and now depth. And we're finally getting into year two of the same defensive coordinator. And I just don't see where this team is moving too much laterally or taking any steps backwards. I think Mike Pettin is going to be here for a long, long time, and same with Ray Farmer. I just want you guys to tell me where maybe I'm going wrong.
No, I think you're right. They built it a smart way. NFL Network, in an article that's on ClevelandBrowns.com, talking about the advice they gave, stay the course. You're very good along the lines now. You have the ability to run the football, play good defense, and you're right. That's what you have to do until you have that cornerback, until you have that quarterback, and the Browns are trying to find that. But the Browns are a team right now that if you were to drop a top 16 quarterback onto this team, you're definitely thinking playoffs or Super Bowl.
Exactly, and I think that the reason why so many projections nationally for the Browns are what they are is because of how last season ended. And a lot of what was all the good that was accomplished in that first half of the season when the quarterback play was solid is forgotten. And I think that I don't get any argument that says the Browns have taken a step backward, because I think the overall depth is improved, as you noted. The defense is largely back intact, if not better. And then a lot of pieces were added on offense to kind of fix some of those holes that were there throughout the year. And I think, you know, I think at worst the quarterback play would be the same, but I think you're banking on it being significantly better this year with what we've seen from Josh McCown so far. So I think it's just in good shape. I do think the schedule is harder. But, you know, you play what you can, and you got to get wins where you can, and you got to steal some wins where you can.
And that's it. This team needs to be able to come through and finish out some of those close games. I think this defense is going to put them in a position to be competitive week in and week out. It's going to be a matter of capitalizing on that and winning those close games. For example, coming through like you had the opportunity to do against Baltimore both times. Mm-hmm. The defense played great. And we are all hoping that this offense will be better because, A, Alex Mack's back. We think that there is an upgrade at quarterback with Josh McCown to Brian Hoyer. There's an upgrade at wide receiver with the additions of Bo and Hartline and hopefully Vince Maley. There's an upgrade, certainly, overall in terms of explosiveness when you add a guy like Duke Johnson to that backfield. The running backs are now in year number two of their scheme. So I think that there are a lot of reasons to be optimistic about this offense. There are certainly many reasons and better reasons to be optimistic about this defense. It's a team that has an opportunity to really come out and surprise some people. But they're also in the toughest division in football. They play a very difficult schedule. But this is a team that can take a step forward by figuring out how to win consistently and win those games. I think they have an opportunity to be very competitive, but competitive and winning are two different things.
You got, and we've talked about before, you got to come out hot too. You got to be ready to roll September 13th against the Jets, because those first three games, while I think all three of those teams are playing, maybe not the Titans. I don't know how much better the Titans got, but I think the Jets and Raiders have gotten a lot better this offseason. So those games aren't gimmies by any means. No game in the NFL is gimmies, but you got to come out with some positive momentum because that schedule just gets brutal, and you're going to drop some games because you're playing some hard games. But like, it's like last year, you can't just go in and play a clunker against the Texans and just take that loss. I mean, you got to, every game has to matter, and you can't just let these easy ones go by, and you got to get wins where you can, because they're going to be tough to come by every week.
They are going to be tough to come by, and this team needs to find a way. One of the teams that the Browns are going to have to beat if they want to make the playoffs and they want to be serious as contenders, the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to get a preview of them from Aaron Wilson from the Baltimore Sun when we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.